Thank you, choir. And with that call to train up a child, one of our blessed obligations and opportunities today is to dedicate Miss Aubrey Ann McFarland. Her parents come to bring her as a gift from God and dedicate really themselves to bringing her up along with her sister Allie in a way that will be pleasing unto the Lord. And so at this moment, Daniel and Kayla, if it is your intent to bring Miss Aubrey Ann McFarland unto the Lord, would you come stand right up here with me? I'm going to invite you up here. I usually do it down there, but usually I've got more than one. So since it's just one, we're going to do it right here. Are you still smiling? Are you still smiling? Yeah, I like that. I love this girl. I want you to know. What an awesome thing it is, this process we call birth. Even more amazing is when it happens and that child begins to grow. In an all too brief time, the infant, so vulnerable and dependent, becomes a child, rapidly learning how to crawl. And we can ask Miss Allie about that. And then to walk. Moving from cries to words to sentences with a growing body and a growing mind and a growing spirit, moving ever toward the goal of adulthood. And parents, you have a tremendous opportunity to witness it all and a great responsibility to guide this process that they are in. And we have a room full of folks. We have family and we have church family that have gathered here to share this precious moment. For you see, on October the 24th, 2013, the world changed forever when Miss Allie made her appearance. And then on February the 25th of this year, the world was changed again when Miss Aubrey Ann McFarland came into our world. Daniel and Kayla, you bring your precious daughter before this congregation to consecrate her to the Lord and to dedicate yourselves to the task of parenting. The time has come for some promises on your part to be made in front of God and these people. Will you place the support and love Aubrey by providing the opportunity for her to grow up in the family of faith with hope that she will someday confess Christ as her own teacher? If so, would you say, we will?
We will.
Will you, to the best of your ability and with God's help, provide a loving family environment in which Aubrey can grow in love, loyalty, and obedience to God until one day she claims Him as her Lord and Savior? If so, will you say, we will?
We will.
Will you encourage Aubrey to grow in her faith so that she might later be received into the fellowship of the church by baptism, fully partaking in the work and the worship of the church? If so, would you please say, we will.
We will.
And a part of this family is here in this congregation with us. And we sometimes say, we'll stand beside you or we'll stand with you. And so in a very tangible way, I'm going to ask the family of Miss Aubrey Ann McFarland, that if you will today before God and this company, promise to help this family by your prayers, by your example, and by your love, would you now stand with them to her family? And now to Flat Springs Baptist Church, because Daniel and Kayla and Allie and Aubrey, they're ours. They're part of our family. And we too have a responsibility, a tremendous responsibility, to provide a place where she can learn. We just had this place filled last week with Vacation Bible School. I'm excited that it won't be long before she'll be here. And as we do that, it is an awesome responsibility. Both Allie and Aubrey will be watching us. How we talk, how we love, how we care, how we worship, how we serve. And so now, Flat Springs Baptist Church, if you too will promise to be the church, to be the very example of Christ for this family, would you indicate that now by standing and remain standing? And to any of our guests that are here for this moment, we would invite you to stand with us as well. At this time, I'd like to ask your deacon to come, Mr. Tony Reagan, and present to you Aubrey's Bible and certificate. We've got three more things you're going to have to handle. I don't know how you want to. Let's pray, shall we? God, we love these precious gifts. When a child smiles, your spirit is moved. Thank you for her smile. Thank you for the life that she is. And help us all to do all in our power to bring her up in a way, to train up a child in the way that she should go. And God, we know you have great things in store. Bless this family. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you. You may be seated and take your worship.
What a wonderful way to begin our time of worship together at Flat Springs Baptist Church. We would like to welcome any guests that are with us and participating in our worship service together this morning. We have a way of hopefully sharing some information about ourselves and you sharing some information about yourselves. There are guest cards that are located in the pew in front of you. If you could, fill that out. We would love for you to place it in the offering plate so we can exchange that information about us and you and see how God is at work in our midst. You've noticed in your bulletin that there is a list of the Vacation Bible School workers in there. I'd like you to add Heather Hickman to that list of EBS workers. And as you can see, there were a lot of workers to make Vacation Bible School possible. Many things behind the scenes, and like Gary mentioned, what a wonderful week it was to see this sanctuary full of so many children during the week learning about God's love. Children, also always remember that we have our worship bags for you each and every Sunday morning full for you to participate in our worship service with us as well. I found it appropriate to look to Galatians chapter 6. There's one verse 2, where I think we can look for a further understanding of why we've gathered together as a church this morning in worship. It says we are to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We are called to carry burdens, to share joy, to share hardships, to be united under Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So let's pray to Him now as a church. God, we come before you, thankful that your Son, Jesus Christ, is living through us. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, lead us this morning as we worship you in mind and body, spirit and truth, giving us direction and guidance, perseverance and compassion as you lead. Lord, we love you and pray in your Son's holy and precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The psalmist said, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." Let's sing on this bright, beautiful Sunday morning, 495, "Serve the Lord with Gladness." Let's stand as we sing.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for another opportunity to come in your house of worship. Lord, we ask that you continue to help heal the Smith family in their time of need. Please accept these offerings that they might be pleasing to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
So great to see all of you sitting down here. I loved our time last week. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. I love coming down Sunday morning together to see what God is going to teach us from a Bible story that He'll teach us each Sunday morning. You know, lately, you've probably been remembering, I've been talking about John 3:16 a lot, even John 3:17. And during Vacation Bible School last week on Thursday, we talked about John 3:16 as we talked about God's love. God's love being unconditional love. We've been talking a lot about God's love, and during Vacation Bible School, it was so great to see 92 children here with 55 workers throughout the week. I hope you had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun learning about God's love and spending time together the entire week. And I'm also really proud of you, the way that you raised over $320 in your offering throughout the week for the Bread Basket and the Christian United Outreach Center. You all were so great coming each and every morning, so enthusiastic, ready to learn about God's love, bringing friends. It was just a wonderful week together. And since we were talking about God's love so much during the week, it got me thinking a little bit. Is there ever a way we could measure God's love? Have you ever thought about that before? We talk about God's love. I wonder if there's a way we can measure His love. So I brought a tape measure. See a tape measure? I'm sure everybody's seen a tape measure, right? If Lauren needs a picture hung or if I'm cutting something in the garage, I'll use the tape measure. You think we could use a tape measure to measure God's love? It'd be kind of hard. I wouldn't really know how to do that. Maybe so. Somebody say, yeah. Well, what about a measuring cup? Sunday mornings, Lauren and Lillian always make muffins, and they use a measuring cup to pour out some ingredients. You think we could use a measuring cup to measure God's love? Like 4 cups or 100 cups? No? Kind of looking at me like, how would we do that? Well, that's what I was thinking. I was like, we have so many ways to measure things. We even have a clock to measure time, right? But we don't really have a way to measure God's love. And I think that's the point. And that's what Ephesians says in two verses I'm going to read you this morning, okay? Listen to this as it talks about God's love and how we might be able to measure it, okay? Ephesians 3, starting with 17, says, "And I pray that you, being rooted, established in love, hopefully will have power," it says, "together with all the Lord's holy people, to understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Jesus Christ, and to know that love surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." What this is saying is, it's not possible to measure God's love. His love is that big. There's that much of God's love, and that's just so amazing to think about. You can't measure how wide or how tall or how deep or long, because God's love is unconditional. It lasts forever. So pray about that this week with your family and think about how amazing it is that God's love can't be measured. And hopefully we'll be able to pray about ways we can tell other people about that love. Okay? Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for your love. And thank you for helping us understand how great that is. Show us how to tell other people about that, your love, this week. Amen. See y'all next week.
Get on your feet, stand up for Jesus, get on your feet, for all the world to see. Rise up, O Church of God, rise up from your sleep, get on your feet. There's a time to work and a time to rest, a time to listen and a time to be blessed. But now our God is calling his army to the fight, to overcome the enemy and stand for what is right. Get on your feet, stand up for Jesus, get on your feet, for all the world to see. Rise up, O Church of God, rise up from your sleep, get on your feet.
Rise up, O Church of God, rise up, O Church of God.
Let the church rise up like a mighty army of the Lord, marching into battle with his word, our mighty sword.
We've been silent long enough, but through the power of God we must shout victory, keep gaining ground, and let the church rise up.
Stand up for Jesus,
soldiers of the cross,
lift high his banner,
it must not suffer loss.
Onward to victory,
sound the battle cry,
let the church arise. Get on your feet, stand up for Jesus, get on your feet, for all the world to see. Rise up, O Church of God. Rise up from your sleep, get up on your feet, sound the battle cry, Church of God, arise. Let the church arise.
It's good to have the quartet with you again, and we've enjoyed, and I appreciate them letting me stay with them too. So I figure they'll kick me out sooner or later. Move somebody in that can sing. We want to sing a song, King Jesus is Coming, and he is indeed coming. It's time to gather your family together. It's time to bring your neighborhood together, your friends and relatives, and even your enemies. because the time is coming when the Lord will come and those that you have not reached will be left behind.
Jesus is coming, this could be the day. He's waiting on something, he'll hear his Father say. Go get my children, it's time to bring them home. King Jesus is coming, and it won't be long.
This world is a place of trouble and trial. In the last days we're told in the Bible, there is a promise of God on which we stand.
Expected.
Saints in the graves will be resurrected.
We will rise and never be the same again. King Jesus is coming, this could be the day. He's waiting on something, he'll hear his Father say. Go get my children, it's time to bring them home. King Jesus is coming, and it won't be long.
Time altar.
Run to the Lord, don't fail or falter.
He is ready to save and set you free.
Signs of the times everywhere surround us.
Sin and affliction are all around us.
Heaven awaits where you can live eternally. King Jesus is coming, this could be the day. He's waiting on something, he'll hear his Father say. Go get my children, it's time to bring them home. King Jesus is coming, and it won't be long. King Jesus is coming, this could be the day. He's waiting on something, he'll hear his Father say. Go get my children, it's time to bring them home. King Jesus is coming, and it won't be long. Go get my children, it's time to bring them home. Bring them home. King Jesus is coming, and it won't be long. It won't be long. Is coming, this could be the day. He's waiting on something, he'll hear his Father say. Go get my children, it's time to bring them home. King Jesus is coming, and it won't be long. Go get my children, it's time to bring them home. Bring them home. Jesus is coming, and it won't be long, it won't be long.
And the people said,
amen.
Thank you for the Lord. You know, I like for the Lord, but then there's Cindy, and I know she's for the Lord, so I don't know, just a math problem I've got. Let me invite you to open your bulletin. It's certainly not wasted on me that yesterday we gathered with our community as a congregation to share in the homegoing of one of our own, Dwayne Smith. And then this morning, we dedicated to the Lord, Miss Aubrey Ann. In both those situations, it's good to be in church. It's good to have the people of God to stand with you in those moments, in all those other moments. Because one day the King is coming. And I can't believe that it's very long. You may have heard our bells ring twice today.
We join with other churches across this land, ringing our bells at 10 o'clock, remembering those who lost their lives Wednesday night in that senseless shooting in Columbia, South Carolina. And our hearts break because any attack on any church is an attack on every church and every body of believers. And so our hearts break with them, and we pray for those families. This morning, Fed led us in our devotion, and he reminded us of forgiveness. It has been a powerful testimony of that congregation, the spirit of forgiveness, that they have met such a senseless and evil act. And we pray for them as well. You'll see our list of those who have special needs that we pray for. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your love and your grace and your mercy. And we pray, oh God, that you would help us to get on our feet, because one day you are coming. And Lord, as we know you're coming and as we are excited about you coming, we pray, oh God, that you might guide us to be the salt and light that a community needs, that a world needs, that we might indeed stand as brothers and sisters throughout this land who are held together by the common cause of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Lord, that we might be able to stand in the midst of all the pressures of life, all the evil of this present day, and we might be your people in the midst of all your people. Guide us now as we continue to worship. Be with those who have special needs that are on our heart and in our heart, and help us to do all in our power to share our love, and by doing so, share your love with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Transcends all the reason of man, and the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hand. I believe Hill called Mount Calvary.
house to cling to that old rugged, cross.
I'll still cling,
cling to that old rugged
so much. What a powerful, powerful song. One we know, and yet still it speaks on that day when we exchange. What a powerful moment. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Joshua. The last time I believe I visited this with you was in 2008. We'll visit it again today. Choices. They are so important. If you are an Old Testament student, you'll know that Joshua has taken the helm from Moses and he has led the children of Israel to conquer the land. And at this moment, they stand at the river, ready to make some choices. And powerful words. Words that will last as long as there's church, were spoken by the leader of the ancient people of Israel. I want us to hear those words. These God-inspired, God-controlled, and God-dwelling words. And then I pray that we shall make decisions based on these ancient words. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of two verses, the 14th and 15th verse of Joshua chapter 24. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt. And serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And then he said these words. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would you pray? God, give us Joshua resolved today to be your people. In the midst of all the gods of this world, may we serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our hymn of decision and bringing ourselves to a point of saying that last thing to God before we leave is Footsteps of Jesus, page 483. Maybe you just mark that there. Today's Father's Day. It's a special time. I read some quotes, and Dad, you might ask yourself, have you ever said something exactly like this or somewhat like this? Have you ever said, bring me back the change? My favorite default, go ask your mother. What do you think I'm made of? You want me to take you where? You don't understand. When I was your age, turn off the lights when you leave the room. You don't pay the bills around here. All right, now, if you break your neck, don't come running to me. He didn't think that one through, did he? Just wait till you have some kids of your own. And last and not least, you need to hush up while I give you something to cry about. You ever use that one? You know, these days are, for us, someone like me whose father has gone on to be with the Lord many, many years ago, it's a time for me to remember, and I can hear so many things my dad said. Some of them I just listed. But oftentimes, his counsel, his strength, and his resolve, to the best of his ability, and he had great ability to serve the Lord. He didn't just preach that because he was a preacher, but he lived that. He lived that in how he carried himself. Today, may this life-changing moment from ancient Israel remind us of our choices. Joshua calls us with that great statement, choose you this day. Choices have to be made daily. It would be wonderful. And I believe maybe there is a heresy out there that some might dare believe that you could one time walk down the aisle, give your heart to Christ, and go back and live your life and make every other choice on your own, in your own strength, in your own way, for your own convenience. Brothers and sisters, that is a lie straight from hell. If you are to be one who chooses this day, then that must be the prayer every day, to choose each day, day by day. What choices have you already made for God? Well, one is your presence here today, and you did well. This afternoon, there'll be more choices. There'll be choices all around us all the time. It would be great if you could just make that one choice and then it be done. But it is a moment-by-moment decision-making walk with God. There's a tremendous negative example in the Bible. There's a tremendous positive example in the New Testament. Let me start with the Old Testament example of day-by-day choices. We all remember King David. Hebrews says he was a man after God's own heart. We know that he loved the Lord. He sang song. He wrote the Psalms. And our psalm was a song book. And David compiled them, wrote many of them. He was one who sang unto the Lord. His faith was strong. We remember all the way back to when he stood before Goliath. And as a warrior, he would pray. And he would get God's power. And he would go out and he would face all the enemies. He made choices day by day by day for God, but then one day, Scripture says, when kings went off to war, David stayed home. He chose not to go where he needed to go. and he walked out on his roof and he looked out over his court and he saw Bathsheba. And you remember the story. And this man who had daily made right choices made a wrong choice. It cost Uriah his life. It cost Bathsheba her family. And it changed ancient Israel's history. We must choose every day. Choosing not only today will affect what we choose tomorrow. Our future is not as much a matter of chance as it is a matter of choice. I wish I had come up with that, but I read that. But I'm going to say it again because I think it's significant. Our future as Christians, as believers, as moms and dads, as family members, as church members, as members of this community, as members of this world, our future is more affected not by chance, but by our choice. Not just what happens to us, but what we decide what we'll do with what happens to us. The choices that we make today will completely impact the choices of tomorrow. I had one of those moments because, you see, last Sunday, immediately following church, we started setting up for Bible school, and right there, we set up a tent, and we put it right over here. I think it was a cave, something in Bible school. And I remember us having a great time putting that tent together because we started off and, you know, we were men, so we didn't read directions. We just started putting it together. And then all of a sudden we said, well, that's great, but this one ain't going to reach there. No way is it going to reach there. So we disassembled. We still didn't ever read. I want you to know we never read, okay? And we got it together. Don't ask me how long it took, but we got it together. Choices. Because it was me and Dwayne Smith and Dalton Smith who put that tent together right there. Right there. Last Sunday. Do you hear me? Choices. Choices. Oh my God, choices. They are important because tomorrow is not promised. And the choices we make today, are what matter. Today we must choose to walk daily with our God. You see, the man building the barns in the New Testament, he made choices. The rich young ruler that we talked about last Wednesday night, he made choices. Judas Iscariot, he made choices. The Philippian jailer, he made choices. The Apostle Paul, even on the road to Damascus, he had to make a choice. But I said there was one New Testament choice that I wanted to chronicle. We said David, he made lots of good choices. Every one of us here, we make lots of good choices. But maybe, just maybe, somebody's here today and we've made or are making a bad choice. And right now, the Holy Spirit of God is bringing that to our eyes and to our mind and to our thoughts. There's one who made a good choice. Oh, you're probably ahead of me. You ought to be ahead of me by now. You ought to know who I'm talking about in the New Testament. You ought to know the one who made the right choice. It's in Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 34, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's gathered there with the disciples. He's just celebrated the Lord's Supper in the upper room, the Last Supper. Right now, Judas is actually giving the directions, and they're on their way to the garden called Gethsemane, the Sanhedrin guard and Judas. And Jesus makes a choice. And all three of the Gospels chronicle, all three of the Synoptic Gospels chronicle his words. Father, if it is possible, let this cup, let the cross pass from me. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to die right now. Not that way. But then he made a choice. Remember his choice? Nevertheless, not my will. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Oh, God, help me to make that choice every day. God, thy will be done in how I leave my house, in how I meet my family, in how I meet people on the road or at the store or at work or at school, wherever I may go. God, help me make choices like Jesus did. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Not only did he realize choices had to be made by day to day, he knew it was a family choice. Oh, I think we need to understand, we sometimes emphasize the individual decision. And each one of us must make a decision. But please don't underestimate how important the family is. You see, little Aubrey, she couldn't get here if Daniel and Kayla hadn't brought her. And she can't get here next Sunday if they don't bring her. And she can't get here next Sunday if they don't bring her. And a year from now, and 2 years from now, and 5 years from now, and 10 years from now, she is totally dependent on her family for her faith. We need to understand that. And I want you to know my daddy continues to teach me. I'm 58 years old and he died in early 90, and he continues to shape my faith, because that's what families do. Joshua said, as for me and my family, we'll serve the Lord. Dads, have you said that in your household? Then today's your opportune time. Family decisions. A little fella, he was frightened because of a lightning storm. There was thunder and lightning everywhere. And he called out into the darkness. He said, Daddy, come here, I'm scared. Daddy was tired. He said, Son, God loves you. It's okay. He's in there with you. He'll take care of you. In just a moment, the little boy came back. Daddy, I know God's in here, but I need somebody with skin on. Daddy, you come in here too. You know what? That's good theology. That's real good theology. That's the call of being a believer, is God needs to have somebody with skin on. That's what family's for. That is the place where we are to raise up our children, to train up our children in the way that they should go. I have said before, and I'll say it again, it is not the church's responsibility to raise the children up to be followers of Christ. It is the family's responsibility. The church is here to help the family do the best it can and to equip the family to be the central block of God's love and God's grace. Joshua said, I'll lead my family as a godly man to make the right choice. I read this week that we don't inherit the world from our parents. We borrow it from our children. That's a powerful thought, isn't it? We don't inherit the world from the past. We borrow it from the future. What will this church look like? However much we put in it right now is how it'll look 35, 40 years from now. Moms and dads all over this world are leading their children to make godly decisions. This church is full of folks that are doing that. The question is, that I got to ask, and maybe you need to ask, is, are we giving it our best? Have we made the main thing the main thing? There's so many things that would vie for our attention in this world. There are so many idols. They don't look like idols. We think of idols like totem poles. But the idols that we face are how we invest our time. And there are so many good things. I could list so many things that are good. But if they get in the way, if we're too busy to be what God would have us to be, then they become an idol. Instead of a stepping stone for us to raise our family, they become a stumbling block that get in the way of what's the most important thing. Because brothers and sisters, on the day our children and the day we stand before God Almighty, it won't matter about how many movies we saw. It won't matter about our house. It won't matter about how far we can hit a golf ball or a baseball or a softball. It won't matter what we can do in this world. But what will matter is the choice we made with Jesus Christ. That's what will matter. That's the main thing. And if that's not the main thing, then I'm wrong. I've given my life to the wrong thing. But I don't believe I have. I don't believe I have. I don't believe this church has stood here for 110 years doing the wrong thing and giving the wrong lesson. How well are we doing? The culture says a little faith is enough. Jesus says you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. And brothers and sisters, we need to be listening to Jesus. Finally this morning, choice is not based on what others choose. I like what he said. Joshua said, you make your mind up. You choose. You choose what you want to do. And I'm going to put you in good old deep river language. And I don't care what you do. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we need to stand up to this world and say, we don't care what you do. We're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength. And we'll make a difference in Deep River. We'll make a difference in North Carolina. We'll make a difference in this world. And we will not until we do. That is our call. Joshua with boldness said, you decide. There are lots of options. You choose yours. But let me tell you what I'm going to do. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. You know, each one of us, before we walk out of this building, we're going to say to God, God, this is what I'm going to do. Today, you can't get out of this building without telling God, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to handle you this week, God. This is the deal, God. I hope you like it. This is it. This is the way it's going to be. Say, preacher, we're not going to say that. Yes, we are. Each one of us, every one of us, are going to say that today, on this Father's Day. You see, no decision. Maybe you're here saying, I'm just not going to matter. I just came in one way and I'm going out the same way. Well, you made a decision. You know what you decided? You decided against God. You made a choice. Your choice today is, no, God, I'm not changing anything for you. I'm doing it my way. So you chose against God. Maybe you're saying, well, when the children are older, when things settle down, when it's not so hot, then you made a choice. You chose, no, God, you don't have control of my life today. No, no, God, I choose against you today. You make a choice. Maybe you say, oh, I'm going to do it later. I'm going to do it. Preacher, I'm going to do it. Leave me alone. I'm going to do it. Procrastination is a choice. It's a choice against God. It's a choice against God. You say no to God. You're not going with me from this place. I'm going by myself, and I'm going to do it my way. Each one of us will make a choice. Oh, let me give you the choice. Go to Jesus. His choice was not my will. Thy will be done. Or go to Joshua, who said, choose this day what you'll do. But as for me and my house, dads, you and your house will serve the Lord. What decision will we make for the God who gives us life? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray? Heavenly Father, we bow before you with humble hearts and broken spirits, aware that our sin is ever before you. The sin of procrastination, the sin of allowing the culture to get in the way of prioritizing our life in a way that dishonors you. Lord, you know every heart. You know every decision. You know every choice. You know, we are like David. We can make so many good choices, but then get on the wrong choice and make one bad choice right after another. And God, maybe there's some of us here today that would in this moment say, oh, I'm not leaving this building like that today. I'm not leaving this building like that today. I'm deciding right now, Holy Spirit, in your presence, I'm deciding right now that I'm choosing you, oh God. I'm going to put you first in my life. Maybe there's someone here, Lord, who doesn't know you in the pardon and forgiveness of sin. But now they realize that what you did on Calvary's cross, you did for them. Oh God, you know every heart. You know every name. If there's one who needs to give their heart and life to Christ, if there's something in our life that is evil in your sight, that is ungodly, that is immoral or unethical, then God, we give that to you. And we say, wash me and make me whiter than snow. Oh God, may each of us leave this building today with Joshua's resolve. As for me, I'll serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I'll serve the Lord. As for me and my church, we'll serve the Lord. Oh Lord, make that our hearts beat. In Christ's name, amen. Our hymn of decision is page 483, The Footsteps of Jesus. What a tremendous challenge and invitation. This morning, if God is speaking to our hearts, and He is, calling us to make a choice, to choose this day whom we shall serve. Brothers and sisters, what is our answer to Him as we stand together and sing? I do want you to look in your bulletin. You'll see our Vacation Bible School workers this week. Last week, Pat and Carol lead as our directors, and Matt led in a very powerful way. And every teacher, every worker with the crafts, with the music, with the teaching. Our youth were very involved in assisting. I think we averaged like 84, 85 here. It's the biggest school we've had since I've been here. And it was a good time. It was a powerful time, and I believe we were able to plant some seeds. Thank you to each person who made that week possible. You'll notice our youth are here. We were thinking they might be in Whitley City, but God thought differently. And we've already seen God begin to bring some things that we need to be doing here in Sanford. So they're going to be busy this week doing some of that. And part of that assignment is going to be loving the Smith family. And so we're going to be praying for them and that new assignment that God gave. I thank Matt for being willing to, on a dime, make a pretty big turn. And so we'll be praying for that work as it continues. And now, as we leave this place, to all the fathers, happy Father's Day. And as we spend this time, maybe some of us with family, many of us with family, I pray it is a good time. But as we leave, make us ever mindful, O God, that we are all about our choice. And may we, with Joshua, choose you. May we leave this place now in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place. Because before we get into the car, we'll start making choices. May they honor you in Christ's name. Amen.
Oh,